Welcome to the special edition of Chic Perspectives. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. It is Tuesday, May 15th, 1 p.m., and today is a very special edition of the show because once a quarter, we have the privilege of bringing in some wonderful professional women from ProWin, and today I have three wonderful women from ProWin joining me in the studio. Trisha Mulcair. Mulcair, did I pronounce that right? Oh, I got to tell you guys, I didn't give you the, we were all chatting so much up front. You got to pull your microphones real close to you so we can hear you. Okay. So Trisha.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? And then we have Natalie Thomas and also Jerry Metcalf. So welcome.
Hello.
Ladies.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Yes. I didn't give you guys the upfront lecture on staying close to the microphone. My bad. But we're going to do it anyway, right? Because
yeah,
we can
we'll
all be taught. We're all professional women
exactly.
here. We know what we're doing. And worst case scenario, I have this fabulous little sign that I will be waving at you if you're misbehaving.
Okay,
of course, now that we've, you know, told everyone in the listening audience that we do things like that, I guess I can just say it, you know. Anyway, so we're here on Chic Perspectives today, and you guys all have very different kinds of careers. So it's not like we brought in three people that are in the same field or doing the same thing. But the one thing I think that brings you all together, and me as well, because I've been participating in ProWin for a little while now too, going to some great luncheons and things, but is ProWin. So do you mind if I pick on you, Trisha, a little bit to talk about ProWin?
Not at all. I'd be honored to. I serve as the vice president of new member acquisition, which means I work with the other board members to plan events for our membership. And I'm really inspired by the tagline, building business by building relationships, because when clients call on me to look in my mental Rolodex for a referral to another professional, I need to know those people are going to be responsive and take good care of my clients.
Yeah. So now, when did you originally get involved with ProWin?
I was involved 5 years ago, not an active member. I've been an active member for the last 2 years, worked with a lady named Linda on her new member acquisition committee to plan events and work with the other ladies on the committee on the orientation coffees and getting ladies excited about becoming members.
So that's interesting. So you were a member for a while and you were enjoying it. And then all of a sudden you were sort of like, okay, I need to be more active.
That's exactly right. My networking time is limited. So this is the right organization for me.
Yeah. It's a very interesting group in terms of the way the networking works. I mean, I don't generally like to network. I'm very outgoing, but I hate networking. It's so painful sometimes, isn't it?
Exactly.
Traditional networking is so can be so painful.
I agree.
I mean, we're all, you know, I'm just going to say this because we're on radio and nobody knows what we look like. We're all beautiful, lovely, charming women here that are professional and successful. But yet you walk into a room sometimes of people you don't know and you just want to go in the corner and like not talk to anyone. That's me.
I think when you go to a networking event, normally you just feel like everybody's there with an agenda.
That is very true also.
And the agenda is to give you their card and get your business. And when you go to ProWin, it's their tagline, building business by building relationships. You're there, you're meeting people, you feel like you're really getting to know people and who they are. And the relationship develops, and then you learn who they are and how they operate, and you're very comfortable and happy and excited about sending business. And it's not just the business. It's the opportunities with ProWin that have just it seems like every week, if not every month, if not every week, that there is some new exciting, just for example, being on your radio show.
Yeah.
And other exciting opportunities and meeting people that you didn't know you would meet, being connected with people that you had no idea that you were going to be connected to. And opportunities are just coming from every direction as a result of ProWin.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, it's partly the format, certainly, of the luncheons that are they monthly? No, they're every other month.
Every other month.
Where, you know, because I've gone to things like that. And again, you know, you meet a couple people, you throw your business card at them, they throw their business card at you. But it's not like that at all. It's very much about people getting to know each other. And everybody really does seem to genuinely want to get to know you and care and all of that. It's really
nice. Absolutely. And working in the event planning industry, what I love so much about ProWin is I'm by far maybe one of the youngest members, but from going to the luncheons, I built so many relationships where I've been able to meet women outside of just going to Maggiano's. And we've built a friendship off of it and also helping each other with business. And even Jerry, I went to the women in coffee, which was great for when I met you.
Coffee group. Yeah.
So it's continually building the relationships, but also building the friendships.
Yeah.
And these women they're so amazing. And I look up to every single one being by far the youngest, like I said, and
yeah, quit saying by far. We don't appreciate
that. Exactly.
No one appreciates
youngster. Not old, really.
No, but it really is amazing going to the luncheons and seeing such successful women and being even new to the workforce. It's really inspiring.
Yeah. So over to you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with ProWin?
I've been involved for 5 years. When I initially joined 5 years ago, I was relatively active. I went to the lunches. I met a lot of people. I got to know a few of the members, like Lorraine DeSalvo, who's now the president, pretty well. And then my grandmother passed away. I don't even know what my excuse is, but I just kind of wasn't involved. And one day I literally woke up and I thought, ProWin is a great group. I need to get involved. I got involved. I went to a couple of lunches. I learned more about it. And I thought, I really want to engage and be more a part of this group. And it's funny because I could see the opportunity with ProWin and that I like the group. But I think I said this already. But once I joined ProWin, I just can't believe all of the opportunities that have come my way and how much support there is from other women, which unfortunately isn't always common in the business world. But it joining a group like ProWin has kind of shifted my paradigm in the world that I work in, so there's so many women around me supporting me in my business now.
Yeah, I think it's really neat that both of you guys were sort of involved a little bit, but then later decided to get more involved, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes when you go into an organization, if you don't do that right away, it almost feels like you can't. So I think that's kind of another nice thing, that you can sort of step up when you're ready.
Well, I couldn't believe the support and encouragement I got. That's what you said is so true.
Yeah.
It's really true about ProWin.
I think that's really nice. Okay. And on to the youngster here. And it's your own fault for pointing that out. But how long have you been involved with ProWin, Natalie?
I got involved with ProWin. I'm pretty sure my first luncheon was around September and sometime in the fall. So I'm still very, very new to the group, but I learn something different every single time I go.
And how did you hear about it? How did you get involved?
Gosh, I heard about it through one of the members who I had met at, I met her at an event, and she reached out to me via email. She was like, "It was so great meeting you last week. I would love to have you as my guest."
Nice.
And I was like, "Oh, that's wonderful." And then I was her guest, and sure enough, I was her guest the second time, and then that's when I decided to join. So
that's another great part mm-hmm. of it. All the luncheons, right? People often bring guests. Is that a true statement?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like I've met a lot of
to bring guests.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a nice organic way to grow the group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, on to you guys personally. So you don't join a women's business networking group if you're not a woman in business. So let's talk about what you're doing, you know, when you're not having lunch at ProWin, which, by the way, is this week, I think, right? Is it this week?
It
tomorrow?
Is. It's
week.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow,
I'm getting hungry already.
All
right. So Jerry, before we got on the air for the listeners, started us off on a good note, showing us. So first of all, I should say that she's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire.
Yes.
But she started us off with a video for, is it for one of your listings?
Yes. With a video for one of our listings. I'll kind of preface this with, I'm a real estate agent, and I think everybody here is a real estate agent. And sometimes when you're in this business, you think, maybe I should have just said used car salesman. So we're always working on ways to really keep the business interesting and really obviously sell houses to the benefit of our clients, not just, I think a lot of people's complaints are, every realtor is telling me I've got to just price it low. And there are ways around that. We've gone beyond the traditional. We do the traditional. We've got a graphics designer who had formerly owned Zabella, a pretty well-known graphics design company, an invitation company. We've got her behind us, but we've also gone and gotten really creative. And, you know, let's put it this way. Sex sells. Sex sells cars. Sex sells makeup. Sex sells perfume. Sex sells cell phones. Sex sells hamburgers. I know you guys remember the Hardee's commercial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then there was the Paris Hilton commercial. Sure. So why not? Why shouldn't it sell real estate? So we've got a video, and you just have to see exactly how we use that. But it's at, I guess I can get the website.
Yes, you can.
I should have called it something else, but it's 1245hopewellcrestvideo.com. And that's where you'll find the video. And in just a couple of days, I think this morning we were at 400 hits, and that was before we had to repost after over 200 hits. So just a few days, we were almost at 1,000 hits.
It's popular.
It's popular.
Suffice to say.
And it's not too inappropriate. We scaled it down. We got the idea from a company in Australia that's doing the same thing called Neo Properties, and they're pretty out there. And we scaled it down and did our best to make it appropriate to most Atlantans. I'm sure a few people will hopefully. That's our goal, have something to say about it, to get the buzz.
Yeah, of course.
About the property.
Everybody always has something to
say. And this is the first. We're going to do it on many more of the properties that we're selling.
So now, this is for a particular home that's actually on the market
right
now.
That's right.
And was this, so everyone's getting the idea. This is like you know, mm-hmm. sexy video about this mm-hmm. house. It's not inappropriate, like you said. It's not porn right. or anything crazy, no. but it's just a fun little, you know,
it's very fun
commercial, it's, basically, for the, for
well,
the house.
Well, I had a girlfriend that who I didn't know. I sent her the video one morning, and her grandfather had passed away that day. And we've known one another literally since we were 2 years old. And she called me laughing hysterically. She said, "Jerry, I just was a mess. I was so upset. And I saw this video you text messaged me, and I still cannot stop laughing." She said, "I loved it."
Yeah. It's cute.
It's making me
I like it.
I like it. I'll watch it again.
I will watch it again and again.
So I guess you can tell by the way we're reacting that it was geared towards women.
Well, right. That's the idea behind our marketing is to advertise the way an advertising agency would market anything,
right.
Not just this house has 4 bedrooms, 2 baths,
and
2 car
really
garage, and a finished basement. They all advertise that way. How are we going to make our property stand out for
right.
the rest to get, you know, to sell our properties for the most money possible?
But I do think it's interesting that video, mm-hmm. you're targeting the woman.
Oh, well, the woman makes the decision in the
Love
home
it.
Purchase. That's who's making the decision in the home purchases. So that's exactly who we're targeting.
So now, has that always been the case, or did that change at a certain period in time?
As long as I've been alive, I think it has.
Yeah.
I don't know the statistics on that one, but I know, I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
And so
it's always been the woman who decides what the home is and where it is and
what kind of features she
mm-hmm,
wants,
exactly.
what she needs to have in her kitchen,
exactly.
all that. Yeah.
How many
cars need to fit in the garage, you know?
Well, that's usually the guy.
But she's
usually...
like, "I don't care where all your toys go. My car is going the closest to the door so I can get my groceries into the kitchen, you know?"
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So did this particular homeowner kind of have to be in on, like, you know, up for this? Or did you have to do any convincing?
I've known her really well. And
okay.
here's what I tell you. When she hired me, she said, "Jerry, I'm hiring you. We've known her a long time because I trust you." And I told her that we're going to do a commercial, and she didn't ask any questions.
Nice.
So we and
Best
I know
client.
Her pretty well. We did the commercial. She saw it, and she immediately sent it to every friend she could think of, and couldn't stop laughing and sending me all day. It was Sunday that we published it. All day Sunday, she's texting, messaging me messages about how much
people are reacting.
You know, people are reacting, and just cute comments and funny jokes, and we've had a lot of fun with it.
But it is interesting because that you're, you know, always trying to do new things in this industry because, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like the one thing people talk about right now with the economy is how bad the real estate market is.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about your take on that.
Well, the real estate market is hot. People aren't saying that yet. I don't know who does or doesn't know that yet. But here's an example. Sales are up 17%. Inventory is down 32%. I don't want to bore you guys too much with numbers, but
I might fall asleep.
supply is way down and demand is up. So that naturally, just from February to March 2012, which is the latest statistics that have come out, so average sales price jumped up $20,000, which is significant. And on top of that, the days on market, that's the number of days it takes a house to sell. In 2006, that was the peak of the market. The lowest in 2006 was just under 100. And from February to March, it dropped from 120 to 54 days. 54 days. Mm-hmm. That is insane. And I don't know how many people – I haven't even seen anything in the press about it. I need to do my own press release on it because that is just – those are crazy numbers. And we've actually
– Now, are those numbers Atlanta area? Is that a
That's
certain,
Atlanta. That's
okay.
only Atlanta.
Is that a certain
that is,
price range of homes?
No,
is it all
no,
across the
that
board?
That is all across the board, all of the homes in the Atlanta, metro Atlanta market.
Because I think that's one thing people are scared about. You know, it's mm-hmm. the price is one thing. If you can get your head around what you think you're going to have to either spend to buy or get mm-hmm. when you're selling, fine. But the days on market, I think, is almost what scares people more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't make a decision, well, I'm going to sell my house and move if it's going to take 2 years to sell the house.
Well, that's an interesting point. I know the whole day does not need to be about real estate. But the really interesting thing a lot of people don't know is when you sell your house, if it's marketed right and positioned correctly, your house, it's too many statistics to run, but I have evidence behind this. But basically, your house should take a month to sell.
Yeah.
It might take a little more, and I don't care what, if it's over $1 million, maybe you should give it an average 2 months, which means it may take a little more or less than 2 months. But there's something wrong if when you put your house on the market, it's not under contract within at least 60 days. If it's not, something wrong. There's it could be a number of things. So when you put your house on the market, you shouldn't. A lot of people go, "Oh, well, I guess it'll be about a year." So no, when you need to put your house on the market when you're ready to sell, because time on the market and the house not selling doesn't do anything but hurt the future marketability of your house when it is and you are really ready to sell it.
Right. Right. What about the condo? I know we're going to get off this in a second, but I'm curious too. What about the condo market?
The condo market is very similar. It's surprisingly similar to the detached, because most of the statistics I'm telling you are detached homes. The condo market is very similar.
So it's coming back.
The prices aren't up as much in the condo market, but it's they're pretty parallel to the statistics I gave you. The condo market's pretty much the same.
I know a lot of people in condos, like in Buckhead and in-town mm-hmm. areas, who bought high.
The inventory's not.
And they're kind of screwed. Like, they're stuck in these places, and then they can't rent them out because there's those rental quotas mm-hmm. and all kinds of crazy stuff people are going through. And mm-hmm. I know they're all just waiting and waiting and hoping that the market's going to
exactly.
come back.
And a lot of these condo associations, that's a much longer conversation, but a lot of the condo associations are getting a lot more flexible with the owners.
Yeah.
Allowing them to do things so that they're, because when the properties don't rent, they foreclose, and that does a lot of damage to these condos.
Yeah. Scary stuff, because mm-hmm. then the whole building, it's bad for the neighborhood, it's bad for the, it's like a whole crazy.
Exactly.
So how did you end up getting into real estate in the first place? What made you want to do this?
Well,
dig back.
I was a horse trainer.
Which is kind of like being a real estate agent.
Horse trainer to realtor. Well, what happened was I actually trained horses in Las Vegas. I grew up riding horses in South Georgia, lived in Las Vegas, trained horses in Las Vegas. And I was big on marketing, which is a reason why I love, as you can see with the video and the other things that we do. But so we always captured the people moving into Las Vegas, and I started helping my clients move.
Yeah.
And long story short, I love riding horses, but the lifestyle is not as glamorous as it sounds. It's labor intensive, not much sleep, not always safe.
Right.
And I thought, wait a minute, I'm doing two jobs here, except the one I'm not getting paid for actually makes a lot more money. Maybe I should shift. And that's the gist of the story of the short version of how I ended up in real estate.
Got into it. Okay. We'll take the short version. It's all right. Although we do have plenty of time. Okay. I'm going to go out of order here and jump across the room a little bit, because I want to talk to you, Tricia, because you, as a CPA and director with... Tell me the...
Hamrickberg.
I was afraid I was going to mispronounce it, and I think because of that, I just panicked and I couldn't say it at all. But so, do you often deal with clients like Jerry was talking about, who don't give you any grief and just do whatever you want?
Our clients do have an amazing amount of trust and confidence in us.
So they kind of do.
We got an amazing compliment recently from a banker who we referred a client to, and the client was talking to the banker about different options about getting a lot of money over there. And at the end of the conversation, the client looked at the banker and said, well, I'm going to have to call Hamrickberg before I do anything.
Wow.
And that was an amazing compliment.
Yeah. So you kind of do have clients that, I guess it is all about trust. And you can talk to this too, Natalie, as an event planner. Do you often
absolutely.
Get clients that just say, do what you think is right?
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
All the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's food, whether it's choosing a venue. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting that even though we're all kind of in way different businesses, the mm-hmm. client and client service and client's trust is something that kind of also runs mm-hmm. through all of what we're doing.
Well, if you don't mind me interrupting.
I don't.
I think a big part of it, and I have this conversation with my clients before they hire me, is to be able to, you know, do what you want me to do, to sell your house for a lot of money and to do it quickly, you've got to let go and let me do my job.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hand them testimonials, I hand them references, and I haven't let, you know, they have an interview with me and I say, okay, no, you go read this, you interview, you know, call people. You just, once you decide to hire me, I'm hired.
Yeah.
You got to let me run with it.
Mm-hmm. I think.
And that's a lot of that going in. Mm-hmm. It's getting them to really hire you, not, okay, I've got somebody who I'm going to micromanage through something that I want to control and get done, because then you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though I will say, as a mm-hmm. somewhat controlling woman myself, it is sometimes hard to let that go.
And, oh, it is.
You know,
exactly.
I probably have used services in all arenas, all three of your arenas at some point or other mm-hmm. in my life. And real estate, I felt like, was especially hard. I've bought and sold uh-huh. multiple homes now in the course of my life. And it is a very much a matter of trust. The mm-hmm. last real estate agent that I used, I love. And mm-hmm. I've used her twice now. And I mm-hmm. love her and I know her. You know, I know her and her husband. We've had dinner, you know, those types of things. So I do really trust her. I know that mm-hmm. she has my best interests at heart. But I remember earlier in my life having agents who I was very afraid did not, who really I
exactly.
thought they were, it was all about them making their money.
Exactly.
And minimizing the time they had to spend on me and on my property. And so I couldn't really trust them.
Exactly.
And I felt, you know, even though the transactions happened and they closed and whatever, I felt very unsure. I still felt like, well, maybe I could have got more, or maybe I got ripped off, or you know what I mean?
I think that's it for all of us as a client or customer and as a business owner. We have that challenge on each side of the table. And the biggest, what we do for that, and the biggest, it's a big challenge, but is education-based marketing and education-based services. It's all about educating the client. And some clients, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that. And some of it, a little bit of it, you sit down and just go, okay. I ask them questions. It's a matter of, okay, how soon do you want to sell your house? And you start asking them the questions of what they want, and then they'll come back with, oh, okay, so can I? Then you figure out where their fears are, what they don't know yet. You can educate them on the market and pique their interest to listen to what it is they might need to know. And then suddenly they realize, first of all, sometimes there's a lack of trust because they don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. When they're educated, and then they understand that you know what you're talking about. Oh, and there's something that needs to happen to reach this goal of mine. I think that puts both parties in line.
Well, I think that
it's taken me a few years to learn that, but I feel like I've finally gotten to that place.
But basically everything you just described, in a way, is building a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, it's just you have a sort of a set way of doing it in your arena. But now, Natalie, you probably have a shorter lifetime with people if they're doing an event.
Yes, and, depending on the event,
right?
Sure.
I mean, maybe a year for some events, but probably a lot less for some, right?
Absolutely.
And so you've got to build that relationship and that trust pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Yes, you do. And what's so great, though, about building those relationships is you do get the business coming back to you afterwards.
Yeah.
So after doing events and after you establish that trust with them and execute maybe a great event, they do come back, which is really, really important. Well, but yes, you do have to get that trust right away.
Yeah, and I think probably true in all of your businesses that you want those people not only to come back themselves, because if it's a home, they might not come back for many years, though they might still come back. But you want them to tell their friends.
To refer you, exactly.
You know, and their business associates, and same for you.
Absolutely.
And for Homburg Berg, it's a bit different. Our firm has been around 20 years, and a lot of our clients have been longstanding clients. So we manage their money year-round for them and see them through the different transactions, whether it's buying or selling homes or planning weddings and other types of big events.
Well, that's a good time to get into that. So tell me a little bit more about your firm and what you guys do.
Absolutely. We are an independent fee-only firm here in Atlanta, although we have clients across 39 different states. We offer events. We are paid by our investment advice based on the assets under management, but we also do full-service financial planning for our clients. We give them the resources of a larger firm, but with the personal attention of a smaller firm, meaning that every client has an individual dedicated team of 4 to 5 professionals, a principal, director, senior associate, and associate, and a dedicated admin. So at any point that a client calls, someone needs to be answering the phone that can talk intelligently and help them move money or help them address an issue. And I will say with my clients, although we work with all different types of people with money, whether they're corporate executives, athletes, lottery winners, physicians.
I want to be one of those. Any one of those, really. Including lottery winner. I could be an athlete, maybe not. But okay, keep going.
About 70% of my clients are divorced or widowed women. So I work with the single woman.
Okay.
And for me, that's very rewarding to be their husband. So for most of my clients, they need to be empowered. They've not had to deal with the finances in the past. And so I want them to know whatever question they have, there is no stupid question. This is a huge undertaking, managing your money for the first time.
So how does it work? Like, I was married to a rich dude, let's say. I'm making this up now. I wasn't really married to a rich dude. But let's just pretend I was married to a rich dude and he kicked the bucket and he had all his money someplace else, but I didn't like his people or whatever. So now I meet you at an event and you go, oh, we can help you with that. So, like, walk me through what would happen.
Absolutely. So we would take your $500,000, $2 million, whatever the amount is that you need managed. And, of course, that's outside of the equity you have in your home.
Right.
And we would do a long-term cash flow for you.
So this would be, like, my cash and my stocks and my whatever, but not my physical assets like houses, cars, whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
Not your jewelry and other investments.
Keep going.
So anything we can invest. And we do a long-term cash flow. We understand, when do you want to retire? What are the savings plans you have for your children, whether it's for college or weddings or bar mitzvahs and everything in between? And then we do a 30-year projection for you. We look at what the different scenarios could be. How early can you retire? When might you want to sell your business? And we'll look at what investment portfolio makes the most sense for you, given your risk tolerance. And after 2008, certainly
that
people are slightly different now.
Yeah.
And of course, your income needs from the portfolio, because when clients do retire, they need to start pulling money from the accounts. We need to make sure that we have enough liquidity to help them.
Right.
So I have a question. I don't know if you're permitted to answer this, but what is the most interesting kind of character or person you've had walk through the door? Like a lottery winner or a celebrity or maybe even a story or something? I always love hearing about this stuff.
Truthfully, for me, my clients have just been through a major event, losing a parent. Our youngest client is 21. Our oldest client is 96.
Oh, wow.
Losing a spouse who's always dealt with the money. Mm-hmm. So it's helping them overcome the challenges and obstacles of dealing with their new situation. And a lot of times when clients are going through a divorce, you know, typically the man has the advisors and the woman wants a whole new team, whether it's a CPA, an investment advisor, a new insurance person. And it's helping her understand everything she needs to be thinking about. So it's very comprehensive. And we do become their financial quarterback, which is an amazing responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it feels great.
Yeah.
To be that person.
Yeah. Is there like a bottom line? Like, do you have to have a certain amount of money to be with your firm?
It's $500,000 for our investment only plan, which either it's for our smaller clients or clients that want to diversify over several different managers. And
okay.
then if you want full financial planning, it's $2 million. Our average client has about $2.9 million. And I'll tell you, we have about $2.3 billion assets under management.
I gotcha.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So when the single men come through, you just point them in my direction. Okay, I'm just saying. Not that I'm looking for a sugar daddy or anything, but, you know, if it happens, we could work something out.
I've had several clients asking.
I bet they. Yeah, I bet you have. If you have all those divorced women, I'm sure that's.
Have you had lottery winners? Or?
We do. We have several lottery winners.
Oh, that's good to know, though, because all the statistics you hear about lottery winners.
Well, I know who I'll be calling if I win.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. Done and done. Because I've always wanted, you know, when you play, don't you guys play the lottery game with yourself sometimes? Like, if I win, I would do this. Well, now I know.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
That game, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know if I win now, I'll be calling Trisha.
If I win, I'll make the best real estate video
ever. Yeah, I'm going to spend some money and then I'm going to call Trisha.
Ever, but it'll be even better.
So when someone is starting to work with you, is there something specific that you wish they understood coming in? Is there something that people in general, when they're out there investing money and managing money, that whether they're with you or not, that you feel like they should know?
No question is a stupid question, and it is your money. I learned a very important lesson on my very first golf outing 9 years ago, and the lady was telling me that her team at Hommert Berg was telling her not to buy the mountain house. That big picture, she really couldn't afford it, and my comment was, well, but, you know, you probably cannot afford it if they're running the scenarios and whatnot. And she looked at me and she said, that is my money and I'll do with it what I please. And unfortunately, a lot of clients do have that attitude. So although we show them a cash flow every year that, you know, you do need to keep working or you do need to sell the beach house or you do need to make these changes, you know, they don't make the changes. So it's very frustrating on my side of the table to have the same conversation year after year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't guarantee you're going to marry well or win the lottery or
really
whatever
your
scenario
is. Yeah. I want a guarantee.
No guarantees. Sorry.
Darn it. All right. Fine. Is there anything else specifically that you feel like you want to share about what you're doing and, you know, how it's – oh, you know what I did want to ask you? Talk to me about your family situation, Ms. Trisha. What you got going on over there? What you hiding over there?
I'm due in July, and I have a 2-year-old at home.
Yeah, so you sat down at the table, and because you just look so fabulous, it's not showing in your face at all. I almost forgot to ask about that. So you're a very good example of somebody, you know, juggling major career and family and all of that. So how's that going?
It's working. It's working. It's definitely something I work at every day, and I could not do it without my amazing husband, Nick. We have a 2-year-old little girl who's very active at home.
Wow.
Who demands a lot of attention and who it's interesting because when I walk in the door, every second I have, I give to her and to Nick, and they know that if the phone call comes in and it's a client, it must be something very, very important. Likewise at work, when daycare calls in the middle of the day, Hommert Berg and my team and my clients all understand that it's very important that I take that call.
Yeah.
So it's a constant juggling act, but I've had a number of female mentors who have shown me that you can do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jerry's one of those ladies. So.
Oh, thank you.
Mutual love around the table. Yeah, I love it. So 2-year-old, one on the way. Mm-hmm. You said due in July?
Due in July, 2 months from today.
Very exciting. You ready? Got the baby's room ready and all that good stuff?
No.
Okay. But for other women, you know, who might be a little younger, I'm not looking at anyone in particular. Do you have any... advice on how to juggle it all?
Communicate with your husband or your partner is critical, not only the day-to-day tasks, but mm-hmm. also what are your long-term goals and dreams, and, mm-hmm. and where do you see yourself going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But really do communicate. And of course, working with my single women, unfortunately, I hear the stories when they didn't communicate and what went wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear lots of those stories mm-hmm. too. As a general purpose communicator. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to jump over to Natalie a little bit because yes. all of this stuff plays into what you do. I mean,
absolutely.
Not the babies.
Right. No babies.
No babies. Not yet. But certainly customers, you know, relationship building, customer service and all those types of things. And, you know, we were even talking a little bit about sort of that family planning, weddings and whatever. And I'm sure you
absolutely.
Deal with all of that. And do you become kind of like a therapist for people when they're event planning?
Oh, sometimes, for sure, because sometimes people get so stressed out and they call me and that I kind of have to reassure them that everything's going to be amazing. They're going to have a great event. I have people who come in unannounced all the time into my office. So, yes, definitely. I try to keep those relationships, even on a friendship, a business and a friendship level, just to make the customer feel really comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're how long have you been doing event planning?
Goodness, a little bit over a year.
Okay. Shut up. Like, it was a really long time.
No. No, I've been event planning for a little over a year.
Right.
Beforehand, I was really involved with the movie industry. And one of the jobs I had working in the movie industry, I was doing a little bit of event planning here and there. And then the movie wrapped. And that's kind of how I fell into doing events.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
So, all right, we're going to back up a little bit to the showbiz part.
Yes.
How did you get involved in that and what were you doing?
Oh my gosh, I kind of got lucky. I had just graduated from the University of Georgia, and it was December 2009, and I took a little time off, and then a few months later, I fell into working on the movie Hall Pass. I have family in the industry, so my aunt kind of emailed me, and she's like, you know, this is something you've always wanted to do. You've done a little bit of acting when you were younger, and I started working. I did some production work. I doubled as well for the actress, and then really one thing led to another, and just like any job you have, it's really same thing, building the relationships and meeting so many people and just kind of going from movie to movie. And that's kind of how I just kind of fell into the industry. But it's really been wonderful.
I think all of us probably can appreciate, and I know I can, mm-hmm. that one of the best ways to advance your career in any field mm-hmm. is to meet other people and to stay open,
my gosh, yes. mm-hmm.
you know, to whatever sort of like changing from a horse mm-hmm. trainer to a real, it's like
right.
sort of keeping an open mind.
You never know. And that's like, even just through the people I've met in the movies I've worked on, I've had different jobs really on every movie.
Yeah.
But each job has been such a life-changing experience and kind of brought me to where I am today doing events. And I still am fortunate enough to dabble in that industry when I can.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
And you kind of keep your options open. And mm-hmm. and so with the event stuff, you're transitioning to start doing some planning for some new organizations. Tell me a little bit about that.
I am. For a little over a year, I was with Andrews Entertainment District, which is a lot of people know as East Andrews, but there's actually 8 venues within the complex.
Okay.
So I worked there for a little over a year, and then I now have a new opportunity where I'm going to be doing events for the Buckhead Mansion and for the Millennium Gate Historic Museum.
And where is that?
That is near Atlantic Station.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So that I start that in June. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a whole new chapter in my life. It's going to be challenging, but I think it's something that I needed this time.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so do you know what kinds of events? Is it, again, all
really
things?
All different kinds. A ton of corporate events, which I do have experience with, but I think we're now going to be taking it up a level. A lot of weddings.
Yeah.
We're going to start doing festivals in the fall, music festivals, art festivals, which I'm so excited about. And they've also done a few movie shoots at the Buckhead Mansion.
Oh, so you
so,
can kind of
yeah.
have your two worlds collide a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
I have to say, speaking of festivals, for some reason I've been going to festivals lately.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's that time of year
yeah.
and there seem to be festivals
absolutely.
All over the place. So I was driving through, well, I was got stuck in traffic. Mm-hmm. I think it was on Sunday in the middle of the rain. Could have been the rain, the mm-hmm. rainy day. And so I decided to detour because otherwise I was going to be sitting in dead stop traffic. So I like, you know, mm-hmm. shrieked the brakes and wrenched the wheel and got off and thought I will just wind my way through Dunwoody. No. There was a festival in the middle of Dunwoody in the middle of the rain.
Oh my gosh.
And apparently they just kept it going. They put, I don't know if they had any people there, but
wow.
the tents were up and
mm-hmm.
the crafts people were all there and I was really annoyed. So when you're planning festivals, try not
I'll
to.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, try not yeah. to annoy the,
right.
the driver.
Keep them
people.
Out of the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's like when they close, some areas are way better suited to it than others. Mm-hmm. You know, when they close the roads and you can sort of still get around where you need to go. Mm-hmm. But Dunwoody is not one of those places mm-hmm. because they basically, it was, and I'm really off topic here, but it was like at that intersection of Chamblee, Dunwoody, Mount Vernon. That's like a major thoroughfare, and that's where it was, and you couldn't get through. It was like, I need to go over there.
Yeah,
it was terrible. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that. So, with weddings, do you find that people have just gotten completely insane, or are you young enough that you don't even remember when people weren't quite that insane?
You have your mix of clients. Everyone has been great to work with, but sometimes there's brides that are just like, I just kind of do it all. Like, help me pick out the food, just kind of, you know, here's my budget. And which makes it almost easy for me you know, I know the food well, I know the venue, I know how many people to staff. And then, you know, of course, there's other times where brides are a little more picky or don't like what's on the menu. So I try my best to work with the chef or work with them to fit their needs.
You're so sweet.
So you do get the whole range of people, but which makes my job interesting. So.
Yeah. You guys have seen that over the years, right? From like when we were younger to now, as I look at the other two people who are a little older than you now.
Like, well, even all the bridal shows that are on TV now, too, with all the...
It's so crazy.
The bridezillas.
Oh, my God. What people spend money on
now.
Oh,
my gosh.
The stuff that you absolutely must have, like at your wedding, that was... Mm-hmm. What? You know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine some of the requests that you probably get.
Right.
And also, everybody wants all that stuff that they see on TV for like $5.
Experienced that so much.
Yeah.
So sometimes people kind of want the world because it's their wedding. But you know what? You still work with them. You kind of explain to them the situation and work with their budget. And, you know, it always ends up good in the end.
Yeah, that's true. So. People need to let go. I think that's true in all of these businesses, trusting your provider.
Absolutely.
That you chose. You walked in and you said, you know, I want Jerry or Natalie or Trisha to take care of my business. And then you have to say, okay, I chose this person. I'm going to trust them and I'm going to step back and let them operate. Mm-hmm. So, but you have one other thing going on that you need to talk about too, right?
You have some
t-shirts going on, something.
I do.
Tell me about
that.
So
I was actually a business and fashion major in college. So, and I'm also really, really involved with charities around Atlanta. I'm an ambassador for the Linus Foundation, which benefits the Children's Homeless Shelter of Atlanta. So I kind of created a t-shirt line that is trendy and stylish for men and women, but also benefits local charities in the Atlanta area.
This is exciting. I didn't know about this yet.
Do we have show and tell? Are you digging in your bag for some show and tell?
I brought two t-shirts with me. I brought a girl's t-shirt, and then a men's.
Oh,
so this
see.
Is, it's called...
I wish this was TV and everyone could see.
Yeah.
So, the line is called Cultivation 5, and I came up with this name.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they're really soft.
That's very cute.
Yeah, they're cute. Very nice.
Yeah.
But that's cotton, right?
Yeah, it's alternative apparel t-shirts. So they're nice t-shirts, and you can
nice
kind of wear
stretchy
them.
Stretchy and comfy.
Right, you can wear them with yoga pants, or you can wear them with skinny jeans and a blazer and go out in the town.
Okay, so now I'm reaching across the studio to get my phone out so I can take a picture.
Oh, yeah, take a picture.
These are great.
But we're having fun in the studio, kids. But hang with us.
Yeah, here we go. But the whole idea behind the name is you're cultivating a trend, and then $5 from every t-shirt is going to benefit a charity in Atlanta.
Okay, so now put your face in front, like there.
Oh,
we need to see
okay.
you. Okay. All right, there we go. So now it's a photo session here in the studio. One more time. Oh, I was moving. Hold on. This is great for the listeners.
You
They're like, what are
me.
They doing?
You didn't get me right.
Oh, yeah, I did, buddy.
No, you did not.
We'll see. I don't really know what I got. Okay. I just pushed the button a couple times.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't multitask.
I was not smiling, but
I can't
happy
multitask like this. So that's really cool. So they benefit again?
Yeah, they benefit local charities in Atlanta. So it's a very new business. So I'm actually I'm building the website right now. We did the photo shoot last week. So I'm going to see the pictures tonight.
Nice.
So it's still relatively new, but I actually have met with a few charities that want to be involved. So, for example, the Linus Foundation wants to be involved. I met with Burt's Big Adventure, and they were interested as well. And I think just kind of even start off the business is to work maybe some charity events and sell the t-shirts. And then of course, every t-shirt sold, I will give back $5 from every t-shirt to that charity for the event.
Very cool.
So, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how it worked, but I'm getting there. I'm picking it up.
And then we also, I can design to the website, and which is still being constructed by my cousin, where there is actually a little drop-down box. So after you go to checkout, you can choose which charity that you want to donate your money to when you buy online.
Right. And are the t-shirts all different or are these the...
We started off these, we have two other colors. For the girls, there's also a brown. And then for the guys, there's also, it's a black, but it's more like a dark gray.
Like a heather.
So they get like a vintage-y look.
Yeah.
And the whole idea behind it is as the business, I'm right now, I'm kind of building brand recognition. So as people kind of, you know, the word gets out about Cultivation 5. I want to take each charity that I'm a part with and make more so their own t-shirt. So whether it has like a tagline, whether it's a picture, that each charity, when you automatically purchase that t-shirt, then the $5 will go towards them. So it would be more personal for each charity.
I gotcha.
But for now, we're just going to start it off as just kind of building Cultivation 5 and the name behind it.
Where did the name come from?
I made it up, to be honest with you, because it's just, yeah, I was like, cultivation, you're cultivating a trend, and of course the five comes from $5 from every t-shirt.
Well, there you go.
So, and I wanted a name that kind of went with guys and girls, because it's, you know, it's not just a girl's t-shirt.
Right.
So I wanted a name that was, you know, had a trendy feel to it that guys and girls can relate to.
What a great idea.
Very cool. So now you're doing this by yourself, or you've got other people involved?
I'm currently doing this by myself. I've taken it on. I've had people support. I came up with the idea with another business partner of mine. She's very, very involved now with her other job, but she's so great and supportive with my t-shirt company, but I have the full control of it right now.
I gotcha.
So it's really me and me making the sole decisions and everything. So
very cool. So yeah. Between the movie business, the event.
Yeah, planning, it's crazy.
Are you sleeping at all? Is there any sleep going on? No.
I don't need much sleep to begin with. I think that's what keeps me going, is just keeping busy.
I'll sleep later.
What is the website to get a t-shirt?
The website's going to be www.cultivation5.com, and that's five spelled out.
Cultivation5.com. Okay. Very cool.
So can we get one like right now?
No, it's the website's still, yeah.
They're really cute.
They are cute.
Yeah.
We'll put it on our website when we're
done
with
the show.
That would
be great. Yeah. I would love that.
And so when you get to your first $500,000, of course, Trisha will be happy to help you manage your money.
Absolutely.
And then when I need to buy a house too, because I get to purchase a house.
So Jerry will help you with that. She's got some like $1 million listings where there's really hot guys that play tennis and swim in your
pool. That guy can live in my house. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
We've had some conversations with him to see if he's negotiable, if he can just come with a house.
Right.
Yeah. How did you find that guy? Don't be like, that's my husband, because I will never, I will
actually,
not be your friend.
What is really funny is it's not, but a lot of people have made cute jokes about, oh yeah, Greg Metcalf is my husband. Oh, look, I see Greg's in the video, and it's definitely not him. He's pretty good looking, but no, it's a model that we found and put in the video.
Yeah. Okay, then. All right, because if that was your husband, I was going to be like, we're not friends. We have to leave the studio right now, because that's just not fair.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he was perfect. We couldn't have found a more perfect model.
But maybe he's not nice. You know, he could have some bad traits.
He's actually pretty nice.
Oh, darn it. Don't tell me that. So let's talk about the upcoming year. What are you guys' goals and sort of how do you – so here we are in what, May?
Yes.
So where do you see yourself? Well, we know partly where you see yourself, Trisha, next May. But where do you see yourself kind of from a business standpoint next May? Let's start with you, Trisha. You've been quiet for a little while. I'm going to just come over there.
Certainly next May, coming back from maternity leave later this year, bringing more clients on, not because I need more work to do.
Right.
But certainly there is a need for – we are fee only, which is an important distinction within wealth management, which means we're paid only by our clients. We're not paid any commissions. So when clients ask us for a referral to a real estate agent or an estate planning attorney, there's no kickback to us. Likewise, when we make investments for them, there's no anything paid to us by the mutual fund company. So I think that education out there needs to be.
So how does that work? Like, is there a fee structure depending on what they're asking for?
That's right. So every client gets pretty much the same service from us, which is managing their money and doing this cash flow projection. But every client pays about 1% of assets under management. And as your assets go up, your fee, you know, that it goes down to 75 basis points or 0.5. So all clients just pay us. So we're often the free phone call because they know what they're going to pay us for the year. It fluctuates, obviously, with the markets. But they'll call us before they call their CPA for help with estimated tax payments or a business transaction or doing their estate documents. We'll talk through what their goals and objectives are and talk about what kind of trust can be used, for instance, to make those dreams a reality, and then send them over to the estate planning attorney to keep their fee down a little bit on the invoice, but then also to make sure that, you know, we know their entire financial picture.
Right. So you mentioned earlier that you work with a lot of women who have either gotten a divorce or become a widow. Is that something you did on purpose?
It is. 7 years ago when I got married, I walked into Andy Berg, the founder of the firm's office, and said, I'm finishing up my financial planning, the certified financial planner designation. When I get back from the honeymoon, we're going to go ahead and start studying for the it was a certified divorce financial practitioner designation. They've since changed it a bit. What that means is, although I'm a CPA, thankfully not doing tax returns, I could help clients.
I appreciate that. I'm sure that's not the most fun thing.
No, there's a reason why I came to this side of the house.
Yeah, buddy.
I could help them think about what child support or alimony or financial decisions they need to make as they're going through the divorce. But truly, we don't charge hourly, and that's not where my passion lied. But not having been divorced or a widow, thank God, I wanted to understand what they've been through.
Yeah.
And going through that process helped me understand.
Yeah. And so when you're, as you're looking at the upcoming year, the idea is to sort of cultivate more of those types of clients.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. Exactly. All right, T-shirt girl. Where do you see yourself in May?
I guess a year from now, I just see myself, I'm starting my new job in June.
Yeah.
And just growing with that job and seeing where that takes me, and maybe making a difference, you know, in the event industry and for the Millennium Gate and for the Buckeye Mansion. And then, of course, also with my T-shirts, making that dent in the Atlanta community to help give back to the local charities, of course, and expand my line and maybe come out with some new T-shirt ideas and even bring more charities involved.
And maybe next year you'll be like on the board at ProWin.
And then maybe continue. You know? I would love that.
I would love that too. Start recruiting her now for us.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
You know, just something to think about, you know. And Jerry, are you going to become the queen of real estate videos by next May? Or tell me more about what you see happening in the next year.
It just improving. I think it's important to me and everything that I do. And I think in life, it's short. We got to have fun, whatever we're doing. And continuing to make the business as better, more fun, exciting, because it should be. Why are we advertising hamburgers and that's exciting, and you've got a $2 million mansion and the advertising's still boring? So making that shift in the industry, especially in my personal business, and continuing to educate. I have a real estate updates for specific neighborhoods every month, but we have quarterly updates for the, like, kind of what I gave you for the Atlanta market, and just continuing to do that and grow that and get the word out and make that part a little more than just the numbers. We'll start making that a lot more fun and get people's attention for that. I think it's important for people to be. I've got this knowledge about the market and what I can do to really help people. I've got an obligation to let people know and just continue to do that, improve on that, and improve how we help people.
So it seems like people are going to want to keep an eye on your websites and stuff, just saying, over the next year. So far. So let that happen. Let's give out your contact information. So if anybody wants to buy, sell, just watch naked men running around, they can find you. How do they do that?
The best place to go is actually our blog, which is Kaufman Metcalf. I've got a team of three. I talked to you about Stacy, and I should have also mentioned David Kaufman, who's my partner, and he's also a realtor. He's been in the business as long as I have and is amazing with our buyers. He represents all or most of our buyers of homes, takes them around. He's just one of the most likable people I've ever met and really good in the business. But that's the team name, Kaufman and Metcalf, but our blog is Kaufman Metcalf blog, which is Kaufman Metcalf, Metcalf, blog.com. And our information's on there. My phone number is 770-337-7122. And my email is Jerry, which is J-E-R-E. That's not a long story. It was named after my uncle, but J-E-R-E at KaufmanMetcalf.com.
Awesome.
Did I give my phone number?
You did.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was a bold move. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. When you're in that business, right, you have to give
exactly.
everything.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't stop ringing. It's okay. We've got a way to handle the volume. So.
There you go. And Tricia, if somebody wants to find out more about your firm, give me the website and whatever else you want to do to send people that way.
Absolutely. It's www.HOMRICHBERG.com. Our phone number is 404-264-1400. And if I'm not available this summer, certainly ask for my associate, James Underwood, who'd be happy to help you. And we do have clients, like I said, in 39 out of the 50 states.
Do you have offices all over the place?
We only have a second office in Johns Creek.
Okay. So where's the first office?
In Buckhead on the corner of West Paces and Peachtree.
Right in the heart of it.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that was homrickberg.com, yeah?
That's correct.
Okay. And Natalie, you've got a bunch of different things going on and and you're in transition. But
I am in transition with my email address.
Is there a good, like, is there a Twitter or something, or is there a good way for people to reach you?
The best email to reach me right now is just really my Gmail, which is nthomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, 1127 at gmail.com.
So if anyone needs an event planned, or they want a t-shirt, or they need to have you starring in their next movie. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do.
My new work email will be natalie@thebuckheadmansion.com, but that's not up and running yet. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and also they'll be able to, we'll put all these links up on our website too here.
And I forgot to mention.
Yes, dear. Please.
Apparently I love to interrupt. This is my first radio show, so I'll be better in future ones.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot for that.
I'm your guinea pig.
Nice.
But the two websites, talking about the entertainment and the updates on the market, we've got two websites. The video that everybody's watching, we're getting hundreds of hits a day, is 1245hopewellcrestvideo.com. And then for the Atlanta market updates, their current article is about the 5 dangerous trends in the Atlanta home market. It is hot, but there are dangerous trends anybody wants to be aware of going into the market. And that website to get that information is atlantahometrends.com. That's plural, atlantahometrends.com.
Very cool. And anybody listening right now, if you want to catch this again, there will be a podcast of this episode on the Atlanta Business Radio X website, and all these links will be listed there. And most important link of all, since this is the ProWin special, is let's talk about how to find ProWin. If you're a woman who's been listening to this show and you're thinking, that sounded like a lot of fun, I'd love to hang out with those ladies, and me, of course, then where do they go?
ProWin.com. And there will be information on the website about our future events. We have the lunches every other month. We have quarterly orientation coffees for new members and for members who want to learn more about how to get involved. And certainly information about all the board members is online.
Okay. So it's ProWin, ProWin, just like it sounds, .com. Mm-hmm. And how many members are there altogether?
Right at 100, Jerry.
I think there was over 100. I want to say closer to 150, but we could be completely off on that.
But somewhere in that. So it's
there are definitely over 100 members.
Yeah. So, but you're not getting into a huge overwhelming thing, I think, for people who, you know, to understand. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like this. Well, so it's great.
And I think it's important to mention, as we alluded to earlier, when you come to the luncheons, we have a set program and a speaker. But as part of the introductions is the 8 or 10 women at your table go around the table, answer a question somehow related to the topic, but then also give their elevator speech. So you're getting to know 8 or 10 women every single time you come, very intimately.
Well, yeah, we could talk about that too. If we've got a few minutes to talk about ProWin.
We do.
I'm the program manager, and I basically my job is to select the speakers for each lunch.
Are you guys noticing that I'm getting shorter and shorter? My chair is like slowly sinking. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, that's
going.
Okay. tomorrow we have Celeste Johnson speaking, mm-hmm. and I don't remember word for word her title, but it's basically to stop putting things off and how to get up, take action, and get it done now. Make your dream, make your goals, make your dreams come true right now.
I need to do that.
She's written 7 books. She actually had a radio show for 15 years, those were the two that really blew me away. But she her accomplishments are amazing. Mm-hmm. That she's with just what she's done, and we've just some more examples of the speakers that attend our lunches. We have a speaker in the next one would be July. That's right, July. And she is speaking on branding yourself. She works for Communique mm-hmm. USA, which is they represent, one of their clients is Chick-fil-A. And we've got we've got other speakers that are just really informative on how you can improve your business. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the next two are most exciting to me, branding yourself and the one tomorrow. It's just, you know, it's mindset, but it's also action steps that you can do right now to get going on, take your dreams off the back burner,
right,
is the best way I think of putting it.
And as a new member too, that's what really engaged me with the first ProWin meeting, is coming into the luncheon. I didn't really know what to expect, and the speakers have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and I have now been, I think, to maybe.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know you were. That's great.
No, it's true, I've been to maybe a handful of the mm-hmm. luncheons now over the last mm-hmm. 6 or 8 months, and. I love the table thing. I think that's so great. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have a topic and you go mm-hmm. around and answer a question and then give your elevator speech, but there's also a table host. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, like, if you have a table of people that are like might be inclined to kind of blow it off. No, you have a table host exactly. that's going to like keep it going yep. and, you know, ask a question if somebody's mm-hmm. a little shy or whatever. And it's everybody's, the stories that people tell, it's like you usually get a blend of sort of their personal and their professional story mm-hmm. because maybe that's just a woman thing, but that's kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. And
it builds a relationship quickly.
Well, and people are, yeah. everyone is so interested and supportive. And when you sort of talk about something you've overcome or, mm-hmm. you know, what your goals are for mm-hmm. next year, everyone is really sort of just really supportive and sweet mm-hmm. and nice. And I just, it's a very, very welcoming environment.
Well, they, something else they do, I don't know if you know this, but they have started kind of developing the questions around the speech. So you can take, you can kind of warm up to what the speech is about, which is why a lot of people are there. They're very excited about that topic. So right. you kind of warm up. The questions are first, and then everyone, usually the speaker may have an exercise for the table. So you're really learning and applying so much about business. And while you're learning and applying things about business, especially for those of us who count on networking relationships for our business, which is mm-hmm. most of us, you're building those relationships for business as well, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a really nice blend, I think, of sitting and being passive and listening and interacting.
Mm-hmm. That you like that part. Well, but
there's a you know, you go to some events where all you do is go and sit and listen to someone talk, and you That's don't true, really meet
right.
anyone.
Right.
Maybe you meet somebody in line for a drink or something, but you don't really meet anyone because right. you're just sitting and listening. You don't want to be rude. Or the reverse, where you just talk yourself to death and you like can't even, you don't mm-hmm. want to smile anymore because your face hurts, you know? So I think it's a really nice blend. It's a really good program. So I highly recommend ProWin to anyone who's looking for a great women's networking mm-hmm. group in Atlanta. So ProWin.com. And that's about it for today. You guys have any last thoughts you want to throw in?
Can I just mention Visions Anew? It's a group that I sit on the board for. It's for women going through a divorce who want to create a new vision for their life, because so many of the women have not made the decision to get the divorce and oftentimes don't know where the resources are, whether it's the attorneys, the therapists, the financial folks. And it's a terrific group. I don't know of another one in the country, truly. And we're lucky to have it here in Atlanta. We have weekend events, one's on Father's Day, one's on Valentine's Day, and then there's one in the spring or in the fall. And you go out to a retreat center and really do get the resources and information you need. So Visions Anew is a terrific organization.
That's awesome. Recommend. That sounds really cool. I never heard of that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you all for being here.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. And this has been a special episode of Chic Perspectives. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. We will see you next time.